Rebel Extra is on the air. This is your team, Las Vegas, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 364-1100. That's 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra on ESPN 1100. Now, here's your host, Bernie Fratto.
Well, it promised to be a special night at the Thomas and Mack this evening. At halftime, former All-American and Runner Rebel all-time leading scorer Eddie Owens had his jersey retired. And in addition, the Mountain West champion UNLV golf team, well, they were presented with their rings. Meanwhile, the UNLV Runner Rebels basketball team closed out the first half with a nice run and a couple of Jalen Poyser NBA-linked three-pointers, and the Rebels led at the half 37-26. But after surrendering a double-digit lead and falling behind at one point to the gritty UCR Highlanders 51-50, the question mark loomed. How would this young, inexperienced squad respond? But on this night, the Runnin' Rebels had an answer. A combination of some clutch threes, pressure defense, and some big free throws down the stretch. And UNLV walks off the floor with the first win of the Marvin Menzies era by a score of 74-62. Welcome back to another edition of Rebel Extra, the postgame show devoted to you, the fans and supporters of UNLV Runnin' Rebel basketball. Rebel Extra is brought to you by our proud sponsors, Angel Park Legacy in Durango Hills, OB Sports' most complete golf course experiences in Las Vegas, Diamondback Land Surveying. From brick walls to the Taj Mahal, Diamondback Land Surveying are your land surveying experts. 8-Ball Bail Bonds. If you had more fun at the game than the law allows, call 8-Ball Bail Bonds to get you out of jail. Pizza My Dear with a smoke and lunch deal, a 12-inch pizza for only $5 with two locations. Go to pizzamydear.com. We come to you after every game this season, and we want to hear from you, Las Vegas, 364-1100. Give us a call and be part of the action, or you can text in your thoughts at 69187. Don't forget, preface it with ESPN. Before I go any further, let me introduce my broadcast team. To my left, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together, is producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado. He'll also be taking your calls at 364-1100. And to my right, I'm joined by the gentleman. You hear him every day on Cofield & Company, John Von Tobel. JVT, what are your thoughts? First win in the Marvin Menzies era.
It's cool to be back, first off. This is awesome. It's always, no matter what the team is on the floor, the players, it's always cool to just be back at the Thomas and Mack Center and watch UNLV basketball. As far as my thoughts, I thought it was a really solid win. When you are up 15 and then you give up the lead and you're trailing by one and then you respond with a 7-0 run, you take the lead back and you end up winning. I thought it was a really solid win just because of the circumstances, and it was a really, really gutty win too.
You know, and I think the coaching staff, the players would be the first to admit there's a lot to work on, a lot to shore up, and we're going to talk about a lot of things tonight. But when the Rebels come out of the gate with only 9 points in the first 9 minutes, but finish strong and stake themselves to a 37-26 halftime lead, obviously you got contribution from a lot of guys. One of the things we'll talk about tonight, some Rebels making their debut. It was good to see Chekna Dembele on the floor nursing the foot injury. It was good to see certainly Dwayne Morgan back. He had hip surgery in the offseason. Both of those guys certainly contributed and gave the Rebels a low post interior presence that they did not have the other night against South Alabama. And of course, gentlemen, you mentioned off the air, we're in total agreement. Ben Coupette Jr. made quite a first impression.
Yeah, Ben Coupette, but one of the guys you mentioned was Dwayne Morgan, who I thought had a really big hand in helping break that 2-3 zone early on, hitting back-to-back jumpers right there on the baseline on the right side. Just really showed that he's actually adding to his offensive game, and it was the crowd actually gave him a really good response when he came on the floor the first time.
Yeah, they did.
So it was good to see him back from injury. But yeah, you mentioned Coupette was awesome, and it wasn't just scoring. It was on the defensive side, breaking up passes, attacking the passing lanes, getting rebounds. Pet was really, really impressive.
Did you get a number on the crowd tonight? Did you?
You know what? I didn't see it at all.
I know Mitch and I talked about this Saturday night. Maybe we had 8,000. We probably had less than that. But you brought up a good point. When Dwayne Morgan checked in for the first time this season at the 1650 mark, the crowd visibly or noticeably, audibly reacted. It was nice to hear. We do have an engaged audience, as it were, for this team. It's not exactly a sold-out Thomas and Mack, a raucous Thomas and Mack, like It was back in the day, but nonetheless, the crowd that has been there the first two games has been engaged.
Yeah, and the more they win games, especially games like this where they can come back and they can hold on to leads, I think you'll get obviously more and more people to show up, the more successful they are under Marvin Mezzi. So that'll take care of itself, I hope, in the long run.
Sure. 364-1100. This is your show and your team, Las Vegas. We definitely want to hear from you. JVT and I will be covering a lot of things tonight. Some various highlights and observations and analysis of the game and the game flow. We'll talk about some individual performances. We'll even take a quick tour around the Mountain West. We're going to try to connect with Mark Anderson, the beat writer, late in the show. He's on deadline, so we have to be respectful of that. But again, in the meantime, this is a call-in show, so we want to hear from you. So let's get to it. Let's go out to the phone lines. We're joined by Kevin. Kevin, lead us off tonight.
Gentlemen, what's going on? Hey, it's great to see Marvin Mezzi get his first win as a Rebel, huh?
You know what? Everything always feels better when you win, and everything looks better when the shots are dropping, and I guess the simplistic analysis was the Rebels hit some shots tonight.
Yep, and that always helps. That's the game of basketball, make or miss shots. So this is the question I have for you, gentlemen, as we go forward. Do you see UNLV basketball this year winning ugly? By that, do you mean Bernie, and do you guys see them opening it up at all and saying, let's just go and go, or are we going to see, you know, games like tonight where it's, you know, you could see some 62-57 games? Do you think Marvin Mezzi will ever just say, let's go out and ball and let's have a 92-87 game, or is this going to be the type of games that we see throughout the year? I'm curious to see what your thoughts are on that.
Well, the Rebels put up 74 points. It's my observation that they are going to be up-tempo. They're certainly not shy. They get a lot of shots off early in the shot clock. They're having trouble getting into a half-court offense, let's face it. I like Jalen Poyser. I actually like him a lot. 20.7 rebounds tonight, very active. Not sure that he's a floor general.
And Mezzi has said that he wants to run, and they've shown in a few games that they're going to try to run, and that'll lead to more high-scoring games. And also, the defense, it still needs some work. So you're going to have some games where they're going to give up a lot of points, which means they're going to have to score a lot of points. So I think they're going to be capable of running and scoring and being in those high-scoring games. But I think games like today are something you're going to see as well, because Mezzi is going to have these guys improved and playing better defense down the road.
You know, Kevin, one of the things, they're not shy when it comes to shooting three-pointers. They've taken 37 three-pointers already in the first two games, 6-22 tonight. They managed to mask that. They are aggressive within the framework of Mezzi's offense. Now, they're not going to be the run and gun Rebels of the early 90s for various reasons. But I do not think they're going to be a slowdown team like Wyoming, hopefully, you know, if that answers your question.
Well, let's support the team, and a W is a W, right, gentlemen? Let's keep it going.
Very good. Appreciate the call, Kevin. And that's right. At this point, JVT, a W is a W. At the end of the year, they're not going to ask just how many. Right now, they're 1-1. We know there are going to be a lot of pitfalls on this tough preseason non-conference schedule. We've got the 12-game stretch where you've got Duke, Kansas, and Oregon, and you've got to go to Arizona State and play Bobby Hurley. We've talked about this, but I want to focus on tonight and talk a little bit about turning points in the game and who stepped up. The thing I noticed early on, the Rebels trailed 13-8 and then went off on a run. And they started 4-15 from the field, but they finished 11-20 to build themselves an 11-point halftime lead. 37 points in the first half, 37 points in the second half. But I don't feel that the offensive flow was consistent tonight.
No, I don't think so either. And there was a lot of possessions where you saw the shot clock wind down to the waning seconds, and then Jalen Poyser bailing the team out with some insane threes. There was one where it looked like he ducked under a UC Riverside defender and just chucked it up with the shot clock buzzing. So the offense definitely needs a little bit more work, because like I said, there were some possessions that winded down, but there were some possessions that looked pretty smooth and that they actually did get into the half court. And, you know, they would try to run a few plays, whether it was a down screen, something like that didn't work, and you saw them running something different. And I think it looks a lot different, to be honest with you, than their old offense that we saw under Dave Rice, because we saw a lot of just stagnant high ball screen,
Fair enough.
That was it. And now you're seeing, okay, that's not working. Let's go to the other side and try something else here.
Guards have to get more experience. A lot of times there was too much dribbling. When UNLV surrendered that 15-point lead that you alluded to in the second half, there were a lot of mental mistakes. Again, dribbling into trouble, a lot of ill-advised shots. out of position on defense, a couple of times where they fell asleep on inbound plays. But for the most part, when the Rebels had to make plays, they made them. Saw a lot of different defenses tonight. UCR came out with a very aggressive man defense, in-your-face type defense, some trapping. Then they switched to a 2-3-2 zone about halfway through the first half. And then you even saw some sort of half-court, three-quarter-court press trying to pick up the ball in the backcourt. And in the second half, the Rebels' ability to break that press actually helped them extend their lead.
Yeah, and I thought at first they weren't going to have an issue with it because, I mean, like Javon Mooring, there was an issue. There was a moment where he got trapped in the corner right about midcourt, and he turned the ball over. And so I thought they were going to have some trouble with it. But then you saw on the dunk late with Tyrell Green where they actually broke the press really well, and he had a breakaway dunk. So they looked – that was the positive sign, was they looked like they could adjust – and actually get used to handling like a 2-2-1 and a press, things of that nature.
364-1100. I'm Bernie Fratto. He's John Von Tobel. Rebel Extra comes to you after every UNLV Run a Rebel game this year. Rebels get it done 74-62 on a momentous night at the Thomas and Mack, getting Marvin Menzies his first win as Rebels coach. The UNLV men's golf team, by the way, gets their Mountain West Conference Championship rings. And Eddie Owens, the all-time leading scorer, All-American from the Hardaway 8, has his jersey retired. Great night all the way around at the Thomas and Mack. As you make observations about some of these new players, again, we got to see Cheknin Dembele get on the floor for the first time. And coupled with Dwayne Morgan, I thought they formed a nice interior presence, which was missing in the South Alabama game. Let's talk a little bit about Ben Coupet Jr., the freshman from Chicago. 8 points, 7 rebounds, very active. Has a great first step, has that baseline drive. Seems like he might develop into a nice offensive player.
Yeah, and the word you used was awesome, was active. He was on a lot of places, and he looked like he wanted to do everything, whether it was play defense or, like you said, attack and go towards the basket. I mean, there was a lot of plays where when they were in the 2-3 UC Riverside, he made offense happen by attacking the basket and getting to the free throw line, too. And he hit all four of his shots. So
young
he looked very versatile.
Yes, yep. young freshman. He's got real nice hand-eye coordination, good footwork. When the ball leaves his hands, he's not off balance. His shots don't look forced. And by the way, we're going to come back to this. A lot of those shots that went in tonight were forced, I thought. Back out to the phone lines, we're joined by Piper. Piper, thanks for checking in tonight on Rebel Extra. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are I think they played really well when they went to a full court press and started basic trapping, and it started changing the flow of the game. And I think they need to do that for 40 straight minutes throughout the game to make it tougher on the other team. And I think that the way they played, there was a few guys that I don't know if he won't take them out or whatever, but 30 sometimes he just, like, I don't know what his name is or
Javon
whatever.
Javon Mooring.
He looks like he's out of control sometimes. He turns the ball over a lot. But I think if they play that, you know, like a helter-skelter, kind of like, you know, 40 minutes of hell, trapping, pressing, 5 minutes, you know, just like Kentucky did a couple years ago.
Now, were you at the game tonight, Piper? Were you able to see the game first?
Yes, I got four season tickets.
Well, it's funny you mentioned 40 minutes of hell. Of course, the reference to Nolan Richardson in 94, that Arkansas team.
Right.
We might have the athletes
I think you do that.
And by the way, and I keep on the line, Bobby, Coach Menzies got 10 guys on the floor tonight and played 10 guys. And I don't know if that continues all year, but... Yeah, and there are pros and cons to playing a four-court press.
Kentucky ran it a couple years ago. Guys basically gave 100% for 5 minutes. Then Calipari took them out, put another five guys in there. And if you can get that kind of rotation early in the season and see what you've got, I think they play better that way.
That's a fair observation. Appreciate your call, Piper. Don't be a stranger. It was 7:30 to go in the game in the balance, and it was basically around a one-point game. The defensive pressure returned, and it made a difference. Frankly, UC Riverside didn't have an answer for it.
Yeah, and you mentioned the depth. That was my first thought right away, is because you get 10 guys on the floor tonight. 9 of those guys played at least 15 minutes.
Yes, they did.
You know, so there is a lot of bodies that Marvin Menzies can work with if they want to go full-court press and they want to do it all game long. And that was one of the things that was really – popped out to me too, is you just see so many bodies coming in and out that this team, if guys that come off the bench, because against South Alabama, there wasn't a lot of bench help. Today there was, especially with Coupet coming off the bench. So if you can get guys off the bench to sit here and contribute, I mean, that'll help out a lot when you can put 10 guys on the floor.
We don't, the theory, you know, can that theoretically continue?
Possibly.
This is a bit of a rebuilding year, and why not find out? And if you've got fresh legs toward the end of the game. Now, not to throw cold water on this, Riverside's had a respectable program over the years. They did graduate their two leading scorers last year. They did return three starters. They were 14-19 last year. The Rebels beat them at their place by 11 last year. They're picked to finish fifth or sixth in their conference. So we do take the victory with a grain of salt in the sense that this isn't going to be one of our tougher opponents, but it's a nice win. Some of the mental mistakes that they got away with tonight, they won't be able to get away with against more quality opponents.
Yeah, nice win's a good way to put it because, again, when you're up 15 and you let that slip away and you fall and you're down by one and then you respond the way that they did, that's a really solid win when you can show, especially with a team that's playing together for only the second time in a regular season matchup, you know, that you can come back and actually put some distance between you and the other team, a really, really impressive victory.
All good points. Not only did they come back, but they extended the lead to 12 and really essentially closed the Highlanders out. How do they do it? Well, they did it by hitting some big threes. Again, some were late in the clock, over the zone. Some also somewhat ill-advised. It's one of those things where the coach on the sidelines says, no, 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 okay, but don't do it again. They did break the press, and you know what, JVT? The one stat that really sticks out to me tonight, they hit their free throws, the Rebels, 16-17 from the line.
Something that we're not used to. Closing the second half 11 of 11, by the way, too.
Good point. Yep. And those were key free throws because a lot of those, the Rebels didn't get into the bonus till late, and a lot of those were hitting the front end of the one-on-ones. And the truth of the matter is, how many times last year did we miss out on the front end of one-on-ones? And those are free points because you get that second free shot.
Exactly. So it's really refreshing to see them actually hit them and at a high clip, too.
Hopefully that can continue. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Jordan. Jordan, thanks for checking in tonight on Rebel Extra.
How are we doing today, man?
Good. How are you, Jordan?
I'm doing well. It's my first time calling, man.
Well, you call as much as you want. What do you got tonight?
Hey, I was really impressed with Chekna Dembele, man. As soon as he got in, got an instant block, and you could tell he held down the paint. He did really good. I'm impressed with him. Hope to see more.
Now, I noticed that as well. He got a block right out of the gate when I thought one of the best players on the floor, Malik Thames, a senior guard from UC Riverside, dribbled left side of the lane, switched hands to a left hand. Dembele not only was in position, but his timing of the block, a la Ken Birch, was impressive. Now, had you seen Dembele play before tonight?
I just seen videos on YouTube, but no, this was impressive. And he looks like a man-child out there. He's big.
Do you know much about his offensive game? I know there was a drop step he attempted. He didn't look comfortable doing it. But if he can provide defense and energy in the low post and that kind of interior presence that we're missing against South Alabama, I think, obviously, those types of plays can create offense.
Yes. And also, I was impressed with Ben Coupet, too. That boy has a lot of hustle in him. There was a play where the ball was going out. He saved it in, and it turned into a transition play. It was beautiful.
Good stuff, Jordan. Appreciate your call. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, and Chekna Dembele in only 7 minutes, too, really impressed me as well. Especially when there was a possession where he got posted up with Larson, and he did not move a muscle when Larson was trying to back him down, and he forced him to miss
a shot.
He's
strong. He's really deceptively strong for a young guy.
And he looks skinny. So to have that strength at his size, if he adds a little bit of weight, he's going to be a terror down low for UNLV in the coming years.
He's lean but wiry, made a good first impression. He's John Von Tobel. I'm Bernie Fratto. This is Rebel Extra, 364-1100. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back on the other side, more of your calls, more stats, more analysis of tonight's game, 74-62 win, the first in Marvin Menzies' era over a gritty UC Riverside team. Don't go away, folks. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Sound off on tonight's Runnin' Rebels game. ESPN 1198.9 FM is live. Now, back to the fellas and Rebel Extra.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, John Von Tobel, give us a call, 364-1100. Be part of the action, or you can text in your thoughts at 69187. Please make sure to preface ESPN. John, one of the things you brought up on the break, and you're spot on, Point guard, I believe, is the most important position in basketball. You're the quarterback. It's a position you play with your eyes. You've got to make mental snapshots of what's taking place around you. You've got to be able to break down a defense with good passes and get the other, you know, get your opponent moving and working. Jalen Poyser and Javon Mooring, one of the two, should emerge as the starting point guard, as the floor general. You had some thoughts on that.
I think my thought, you should probably look at Javon Mooring, in my opinion, because Jalen Poyser shown that he can score off the ball, and I think that's where he's most comfortable. I think everybody can agree with that. He's a really good scorer. He can shoot the ball. He can rebound well, which we saw tonight, he had 7 boards, right? Javon Mooring, on the other hand, today, he was a little reckless when it came to his offensive game, but he had 6 assists compared to Jalen's 2, and I just feel like if you can get him to settle his game down, become more of a distributor, you can have Jalen coming off the wing, and you'll just open up your offense a little bit more. I think Mooring, if you look at him, just the way he plays, I think you can get him to be more of that distributor, more of that point guard that they're looking for.
And Bobby brought up a good point. I think Jalen Poyser is going to have a good year. He's going to be productive. He had 20 points and 7 rebounds. Whenever your guards are rebounding and fighting for rebounds, good things happen. But the question is he a natural point guard? Is that his natural position? It doesn't appear to be the way. Mm-hmm. But at the number 2, he might flourish. Now, that's going to depend on Javon Mooring understanding the requirements of what the point guard position entails. I think Javon Mooring is going to make a pretty good transition into Division I basketball. Mm-hmm. He's athletic enough. He's got the energy. He's got the hops. It's a matter of between the ears making intelligent decisions. And that's on both sides of the ball. Again, when UC Riverside closed the lead to 47-41, the Rebels had a not particularly good offensive possession, and one of the UC Riverside players got a rebound. Javon Mooring wanted to make a hustle play. He rushes over, commits a reach-in dumb foul 90 feet from the UCR basket. Now, what's the significance of that? There were 11 minutes and 41 seconds left in the game. That put Riverside in the bonus for the remainder of the game. Mm-hmm. Again, a 14-19 team. They weren't able to take advantage of it, but as you get on the floor with more quality opponents. So part, I think, of your theory is that how do you perceive Javon Mooring and his ability to understand between the ears how to play that position, not just the ability to, you know, distribute the ball, but to understand and make decisions with your eyes and not commit some of these, you know, silly decisions that turn into fouls?
I think he's definitely got it, and I think with coaching under Menzies, it'll improve. I mean, right after that play that you mentioned, what happened? Menzies pulled him over on the sideline and was right in his ear telling him, like, essentially, look, what are you doing? You're 94 feet from the basket. We don't need this right now. So with coaching, I think he'll understand that he needs to make better decisions, especially in that regard, and as well as just not jacking up those 3-point shots. He's 1 of 4, and he was just shooting up some bombs.
My goodness.
And he almost reminded me of Jerome Seegers, right? Last year, Jerome was
very much so.
He was. You would see sometimes that Jerome would just jack up a shot, and you'd kind of be like, well, we have 20 seconds left in a shot clock, man. We don't need to be doing that.
Now, and you brought up a good point. Look, I want to piggyback on one thing. One of the things Javon Mooring, in his overzealousness, does, sometimes he'll have the ball in his hand. There's just too much dribbling. Mm-hmm. There's no semblance of an offensive flow. They're just dribbling the ball around, and all of a sudden they'll throw up a shot. Menzies called a timeout with a 12-point lead and called the team over and called that to their attention. One of the things I really noticed about this group, Menzies and his staff, very engaged, a lot of in-game coaching.
Yeah, and I think that's what's one of the more refreshing things when it comes to Menzies, because a lot of people complain about Rice. It was just the quiet demeanor on the sideline, not really a screamer, not really getting into the game. Menzies is there, and he's constantly calling guys over, talking to them, chatting them up, coaching them up. And it's really good to see. And that goes along my thought of these guys will improve because Menzies has shown he'll get in their ear right there on the floor,
right,
and tell them in that scenario, look, you don't want to make that decision.
I did see a lot of defensive improvement tonight. Mm-hmm. Better communication, better switching. They were active. I saw some bodies getting on the floor. Some good offensive numbers. The Rebels put up 74 points tonight, again, led by Jalen Poyser, 20 points, 7 rebounds. The only other player in double digits was Christian Jones, 13 points, 5 rebounds. Terrell Green, 6 rebounds. The Rebels rebounded the heck out of the ball tonight, John. They out-rebound their visitors 46-32. A couple of things to clean up, though. The Rebels did force 12 turnovers, but committed 13 of their own.
And 20 offensive rebounds, too, which was really, really good. And some of those were off of long bombs, like we mentioned. So, you know, you jack up a three, it bounces out long, and some of the guys clean it up. So numbers may be a little bit skewed, but when you can actually control the offensive glass, which they didn't really do a good job of against South Alabama, good things happen for you. And they scored some second-chance points. And I believe they had, what, 19 second-chance points, which is a pretty good clip.
Another statistic that was a huge improvement over Saturday night when the Rebels were outscored, the bench was outscored 29-3 by South Alabama. Bench outscored UCR tonight 27-19. Again, probably to a great degree, the fact that the Rebels rotate 10 men out, and all 10 men in their own way really contributed. Let's go back to Christian Jones. Mitch and I noticed he came out early on. What'd you think of his mid-range at the elbow jumper from the free throw line? It's nails.
Yes, I didn't realize it was that solid in his arsenal. I thought he was more of a, you know, above the rim guy. And then I'm watching him. I believe he hit the first two shots for UNLV tonight, right? And they were both mid-range shots.
Yes.
And they are. They're clean. And it's really, that's going to help them a lot, because if he can extend that out just a little bit more, I mean, he's going to be able to spread guys out and bring big guys out with him. It's going to be really good for their offense.
He squares up nicely. Mm-hmm. His release point is very consistent. He goes up very strong. He's a nice-looking player, the senior transfer from St. John's. JVT, as we wrap it up on the show tonight, what are your final thoughts? What would you like to see heading into Cal State Fullerton next Saturday?
Probably I want to see a little more consistency from the bench, because you have South Alabama, right, that they didn't really show up, and then tonight they do. So what you want to see is, can you put two games in a row where you're going to get some more production out of your bench? And it's going to help now that if Dembele and Morgan, if they're not too sore, because I know he mentioned, Marvin Menzies mentioned with John on the post-game interview that they were both already feeling it. So are they – and one thing we haven't even mentioned today either, Chris Clyburn, who looks really, really ragged out there with that knee injury. So I want to see the bench – put together two consistent performances.
Good point. We're going to come back to that. Let's take our final call of the evening. Brian, thanks for checking in tonight on Rebel Extra. What are your thoughts?
Hey, Bernie. John, great job tonight. Very nice show. Just wanted to let you know, I thought we saw a good basketball game tonight. We saw kids trying to gel. Mooring, listening to you talk about Mooring, John, I just don't know if this guy is going to be the guy. He was a great D2 player. I think he was player of the year, averaging like 26 points a game. I didn't see that at all tonight. And like Bernie said, between the ears, man, the guy has got to pick it up. But what I saw that I liked the most, and something you both touched on, like when Mooring really made some bad decisions, Menzie was all over him like a hobo on a ham sandwich. I love seeing that, okay? Number two is he has their attention. I watched the last couple of years, Dave Rice, during timeouts, and a lot of his guys are looking around in the crowd. They were not. Everybody is paying attention to Marvin Menzies, including the crowd, and that I like. The one word that we are all going to have to take into account, being UNLV fans, we all hate this word, patience. Be patient, and I think you will see a good product come out of this team in time.
All right, thanks a lot for checking in, Brian. Always appreciate your thoughts. He's right about the patience thing, but, John, there was improvement from Saturday night. It was discernible.
Yeah, and when it comes to Mooring, my thought on that really is just you want to maximize your personnel, and I think that Jalen plays best at the two. So if you can kind of fit Mooring into that point guard mold, then essentially you're going to get the most out of your lineup. So we'll see with Mooring, but obviously Menzies likes Jalen at the point. I don't know if he loves it, but he seems to think that it's his best option. So we'll see what happens at that position from here on out.
We've got about a minute to go in the show. Do you think the starting lineup is set, or we're going to see a lot of changes?
I think we might see changes down the road. I mean, Dembele, because if you add Dembele in there, you get a 6'11 guy. The healthier he gets, I think that'll help the lineup out a lot. So I think you might see changes, but it's not set quite yet. I think once guys get healthy, you'll probably see a change in the stuff.
You know what's interesting? I wouldn't rule out seeing Dembele and Dwayne Morgan coming off the bench 4 or 6 minutes in and bringing that energy and that low-pros presence. I don't know. I think there'll be a lot of experimenting. All right, that's going to do it tonight, folks, for tonight's edition of Rebel Extra. On behalf of my broadcast team, Bobby Machado, producer extraordinaire, and, of course, John Von Tobel, I'm Bernie Fratto, bidding you good night. Next up, for the Runner Rebels, a date Saturday night with the Cal State Fullerton Titans. Tip off at the Thomas and Mack, 7 p.m. Hope you can all make it out there. In the meantime, tonight's final score, folks, UNLV Runner Rebels 74, UC Riverside Highlanders 62, Rebels get their first victory in the Marvin Menzies era. That'll do it again, folks. Good night. Drive safely. We'll see you Saturday night at the Thomas and Mack.